33. Romeo. The strange thing about souls is they're damned resilient. I mean, look at me. Librarian for 600 years and counting. According to the log, that's a record. You'd reckon I'd be worn thin around the edges by now. I won't pretend I'm not filthy tired of looking at these same walls, but I'm going to keep on, not fade away. Think of the stories I'll have to tell. Mark my words, souls are made of tougher stuff. You can wear one down, tear one apart, unspool all the thread, shave a piece off even. But destroy one? I imagine there's an end somewhere. Or states of being that are as good as an end. But even an end is just where you run out of book. Stories change and stories go on. Maybe souls do, too. Librarian Bjorn the Bard, 1598 CE. Rami had watched until the librarian and the book had disappeared across the crocodile beast's back. He'd waited while the creature churned the water and disappeared again, leaving behind only a gentle foam that melted into bright blue waters. The abandoned stretch of beach stilled, waters turning idyllic instead of frothy. As if none of it had ever happened. As if a human soul hadn't just been sacrificed to satisfy some pagan thirst. As if the needless sacrifice hadn't been because they feared the justice of heaven. Because they feared him.
Fear not.
The voice in Rami's head was sour, mocking, and too similar to Uriel's timbre for his taste. Angels were supposed to be feared. By evil, by forces of chaos. They were made to be feared to drive the darkness back. Not to drive suffering young souls into the mouths of hungering beasts. That Uriel and Rami had done on their own. The ruins were cold. Rami turned away from the arch and rubbed the goose flesh out of one forearm, staring sightlessly at the bones churned to dust at his feet. None of this sat well with him. They'd drawn blades against mortal souls. They'd made a deal with a demon, and as a result, the armies of hell would be arraying against one another. If demons were at one another's throats, even if, and Rami felt it most unlikely, Lucifer himself got overthrown, surely it would result in a stronger position for heaven. He could return to Uriel and get orders on how to proceed next. The petty losses and trials of those who would serve hell were none of his concern. And yet, he couldn't get the image of the boy on the scale out of his head. Couldn't forget the broken noise that shattered from Claire's throat as the jaws descended. A lost soul, she had called him. Lost souls had been Ramiel's duty once. All the Watchers had owed their services to humanity once, before the fall. Rami's responsibility had been the guidance of the lost. Rami hadn't felt competent to guide anything in a very long time. But the look he'd seen on the boy's face hadn't been lost. His eyes had been clear, and his chin had been set. Even broken, he'd stood straight as the shadows closed. That kind of calm, that kind of peace didn't deserve oblivion in a dead god's realm. It took Rami only a thought to return to heaven from earth. He arrived at the gates practically before he realized he'd made a decision. The gates felt smaller, the light less bright somehow. He cut through the cataline of dead souls, ignoring the sputtered cries of the lesser cherub that had filled his place at the desk. He strode past the guard, not toward the gates, but toward the tower. He hesitated only a moment to be surprised that the door was unlocked before he shoved his way in.
Ramiel.
Uriel raised her brow from where she leaned over her desk. Archaic map spread before her.
Report.
He paused, clasping his hands behind his back as he considered how to approach the plan shaping in his mind. He opted for formality.
The adversary escaped through an undocumented gate.
Uriel stiffened.
Hell?
No, some afterlife of a local dead religion. Worshippers long extinct. Water worshipping and sacrifices. I didn't recognize it.
Continue.
I stationed myself and observed their progress. They lost an ally. It's now just the librarian and the unwritten book. They proceeded deeper into the realm. I believe they will seek a direct exit to hell. They won't come back to Earth again.
Good, very good. Uriel seemed preoccupied with her maps. That will buy us time for our next plan.
Rami squinted, but couldn't make out the gibberish scrawled across the maps between them. Sir?
Hell.
Uriel looked up, and Rami nearly stepped back at the bright, hungry gleam in her eye. The Archangel made a fist on the surface of the map.
You heard the demon. That's where he'll take the Codex pages.
Rami held very still. You want to infiltrate hell.
Not infiltrate. Invade.
That means war, and the Creator has forbid. Uriel's fist thudded against the desk.
The Creator is not here to forbid. Think. The point of getting the Codex was to decrease hell's power and return our god to our realm. Why settle for a piece of paper when we could present our maker a kingdom?
Uriel looked up, and the zeal roaring in her eyes diverted as she studied him. Her shoulders relaxed.
But you, of course, are not part of my forces anymore. You need not concern yourself with it.
Rami felt off balance. Sir?
Yes, of course, we had a deal. You didn't succeed in procuring the Codex, and I should point out your commitment wavered at times, but...
Uriel made a dismissive gesture.
You acquitted yourself well. I will speak to the host as soon as this whole library business is behind us.
The fuel in Uriel's fireplace cracked as the silence drew out. Galaxies burned and grew cold.
The host.
He'd thought he'd made up his mind, but Rami's resolve wavered. In his mind's eye, the gates opened for him. The first time in millennia. It had been so long he could barely imagine what lay behind them. But he could feel it. He could taste it. Gold and warmth, peace and absolution. He would be allowed to go home. But even in his imagination, his step paused at the threshold. Rami sought for some footing, some words to say. He was being dismissed, and he discovered, somewhat to his surprise, that success left him hollow. He frowned down at the carpet. He didn't care for hell. The whole realm could fall into the abyss for all he cared, the library with it. Though a twinge in his chest said that wasn't entirely true. The gates in his mind whined on their hinges. Uriel's vengeance would lead to war. Her zeal would lead to fire and scorched earth. But realms would always war against realms, and Rami wasn't made to care for realms. He was made, from the core of his being, to care for souls. The gates shut in his mind, and then the words were out.
Their ally they left behind. I want to try to secure him and bring him back here as an asset.
His skin was cold, hollowed out with the first chill of his decision. His nerves pricked, but Rami looked down at his hands and found they were steady and clenched into fists. Uriel looked up with a mild frown, as if she'd already mentally dismissed him and was annoyed her office was still occupied.
Value being?
Information. He was working closely with the librarian. Might be able to tell us what to expect.
Rami saw the skepticism in Uriel's eyes. He felt a stab of reluctance but added,
He also could grant us access. He was one of Hell's, and he may be able to get us in or draw their forces out.
That did it. He saw the shift as Uriel's gaze thawed from skeptical to calculating. She considered Rami for a long moment.
This is a tactical mission.
Yes, sir, Rami lied.
Fine,
Uriel waved vaguely at the door as she turned back to her maps. The guards outside can procure your old equipment for you.
See that this lead bears fruit for heaven, Ramiel.
For the first time in ages, Ramiel left to rescue a soul. 34. Claire. At some point, you just get tired.
Is it possible for a soul to get tired? It has to be. I was young when I came here, and my skin never ages, but I feel the creaks inside. The poorly settled joins where time whistles through my thoughts like a sieve. It's not a sad feeling. I know what I'm about. I know what's important. I know the weight and feel of my life in my own hands. I'm a rock, ready for the sling. I'm tinder, ready to ignite. They'll send me an apprentice one of these days. I'm sure of it. I can't drag another soul into my fight. If I'm going to act, it has to be soon. Librarian Poppaea Iulia, 49 BCE. Stories said grief was heavy. Stories lied. If grief had a weight, had a mass, Claire could have ground the crocodile god's bones into the bottom of the river. She could have sunk her heel into the knobs of Chill's scale and felt a god break beneath her toes for what it had done. But grief did not have a weight. Or if it did, it was counteracted by another force. Rage. Rage had an upward lift, was a superheated force that crawled up her throat and wanted to do all the things Claire couldn't. Punish the crocodile. Punish this realm. Punish Ramiel. Punish Hero. Punish herself. She'd felt it when the scales had tipped. The crocodile's jaws had closed, and her screams had hitched as she had felt it. She shouldn't have. This was not her realm, not where her soul was tethered, but she had felt it like a tear in her lungs. Had she heard a scream? Had she heard a tear of flesh? Or had she just heard the staccato sigh of a soul unraveling, winking from the universe? She couldn't tell. Her mind was a muddle, and the only thing she knew was that Leto, the one being she'd encountered in 30 years she thought she could actually save, was gone. For her. Claire did not fancy herself an optimist. She had been in hell too long for that. She saw things clearly. But somewhere along the way, what she'd seen most clearly in Leto was hope. Hope for him had become hope for her. And she'd believed. Believed he was a good soul, and that good souls would not be punished by realms. Believing was supposed to be power here, power to protect him. It hadn't. She hadn't. It felt like she was walking on Leto's bones. But nothing of Leto remained here, not after the crocodile had judged him. She was walking on his ending, and for that, she walked lightly, calmly. For Claire was not one to throw away her life rashly for vengeance. She respected vengeance. Vengeance deserved time. And she was already contemplating ways to return to this blighted, half-dead realm one day and burn every inch of it to the ground. She didn't care if she burned with it. The instant their toes touched the sand of the opposite shore, the creature began to sink. By the time Claire had gotten her bearings enough to turn around, all that remained was the dark froth of churning water. Claire stared ahead. The beach on this side of the water was very like the beach they'd left behind, but instead of endless sand, the shore rose to a great wall of bone-pale stone that staggered a dozen feet over their heads. It terminated in what looked like the craggy ruins of a temple, long in decay. Nothing but gap-toothed bits of wall and column remained. Hero's gaze was a physical thing, heavy and insistent like a hand on her back. She had said nothing, not since cursing the angel at the gate. No words as they walked the crocodile's back. No commentary or speculation on the realm they were in. No orders for what they would do next. Claire felt his silence deepen. First into pity, then into worry, then judgment. She couldn't find the energy to care. They struggled up the beach and stopped in front of the impenetrable wall. Without discussion, they took a right and followed its edge, trudging through sucking wet sand. It swallowed any chance of conversation. Hero asked no mocking questions. Claire offered no confident explanations. They paused only once, when Claire's low sneakers filled with sand and she bent to kick them off. She tied their laces together and instinctively went to loop them over her bag. When her hand met open air, she came to a stop with a sharp, halting breath. She swung them over her shoulder instead. Hiro observed the error with quiet pity. The sand dug grit into the tender skin between her toes. A break in the wall appeared behind the curve. It wasn't a proper doorway. Instead, its arches were shattered like a splintered bone in the ribs of the ruins. Inside, the ground turned from sand to smooth, hard-packed earth. It ran straight with thick walls rising on either side, open air above.
A maze? Hiro ventured.
So we've reached the Minoan part of our tour.
Claire wiggled her toes into the sand. It should have been warm from the sun. Instead, it was cold enough to make her bones ache. It's a labyrinth. Souls were meant to wander until they met their demise at the center of it.
Lucky us.
Every maze has its exit.
You obviously haven't read enough Greek tragedies, Claire said. Still, it was the only gap they'd encountered, and the sun had begun to creep down in the sky. Claire didn't fancy the idea of spending the night on the beach, so close to the crocodile. She shook the sand from her toes and stepped onto the unforgiving dirt. They followed its turns until they came to the first intersection of two paths. The pavers were wet with mildew and thick with identical shadows. At least hell had the occasional gargoyle, Claire thought dully.
Hiro hummed.
Left or right?
Left. If we keep following the left, we'll find the exit eventually. If there is one. And if something else doesn't find us first.
Read that in a book, did you?
Hiro's smile faltered as he received only silence. He twisted a hand through his hair and muttered dark nothings to himself as he followed. Claire became aware of a distant noise, a low groan that ground out the spaces between the sound of their steps. It slowly resolved into a gutted howl. Somewhere there was an animal in unbearable pain. Claire almost felt a kinship with it. It took another half dozen turns before Hiro reached the limit of his patience.
He insisted it was our only chance.
A flare of heat broke through her calm before she could ruthlessly tamp it down.
Maybe, but not a chance I wanted.
Hiro took silence as a sign to propel forward.
I argued. I said he shouldn't be hasty. You might convince the angel to let us back through. Aid us even, the way you like to talk.
He said he saw the way they looked at us, and there was no chance.
He said he blamed himself for the ghost lights, for losing to Andras, for doubting.
Claire's bare toe tripped over nothing as she sped up. Hiro caught up with Claire and released a helpless sigh.
What would you have had me do?
Stop him!
It came out like a hiss, but caught on its own jagged edges. Claire's eyes burned and the path began to waver ahead of her.
Hiro shook his head. I think he wanted to make the choice. To ensure you got back to the library. He was so certain, so at peace, and then...
The calm inside her shattered. Claire whirled on him.
What? Then what? The 9-stone soaking wet teenager overpowered you? You should have stopped him, held him to the bloody ground if you had to. He was just a child, he didn't know.
He was a man who made a choice. You don't get to take that away from him.
Hero's voice was hard. It brought Claire up short.
He made a choice, and you're doing his choice a disservice by calling him a child. Leto wasn't a child. He was a human, a young person who'd had everything taken from him, yet he deserves...
Hiro pursed his lips, as if stopping himself, and seemed to jump to a different train of thought. His tone cooled to clipped edges.
I am a book, a creation, a possession, as you are so fond of reminding me. I am bound to go only where the library allows me and will spend all my foreseeable eternity having decisions denied to me.
He held up the wrist that Claire had stamped when she'd cornered him.
What seemed a lifetime ago. But Leto. Leto was a human, and he had a right to his choices. You helped him remember that.
Hero lifted his shoulders. I might have disagreed with his choice, but I would not steal his right to make it, because I know how that feels. Words caught on her lips, clotted just under her tongue. Claire disliked the taste of guilt that came with it, the swoop of regret in her stomach. She'd stamped Hero, bound him to her will, and doomed Leto. Claire struggled with the impulse to deny the rage and the grief that drove everything like a flood in her head. Instead, she turned away, took another left. Let's just keep going. They kept going. Claire lost track of time, lost track of the number of lefts they took as the sun sank lower. It became a blur of stone and distant moans that threatened to burrow into her skull. Until they came to the stairs. Labyrinths didn't have stairs. They were set into an empty expanse of wall, worn but sufficiently intact to look as if they'd bear a person. The uneven steps were hemmed by more stone and quickly twisted upon themselves, a curved staircase that didn't reveal more than a few steps before disappearing upward. Claire tilted her head up. The walls were high, but open to the perpetual twilight. Not high enough for a second floor, not high enough for the stairs to lead anywhere, despite the strange new light that dribbled down them, just around the bend. The stairs couldn't lead anywhere, couldn't exist, no matter how she twisted the physics. If this place had physics. It could be a way out, Hero suggested. More likely, it leads directly to the creature we've been hearing for the last few hours. Probably, but it is on our left. That, against all reason, decided it. Claire swallowed her doubts and ascended the stairs. After three corkscrew turns and a dozen steps, they broke upon the landing of another long, tidy hall. Unlike to the ruins they'd left behind, this hall was well maintained. The sky was still open above them, but the darkness was lit intermittently by torches ensconced at regular intervals along the hall. Hero swept up one of the torches that kept the deepest shadows at bay.
Just in case, he muttered a bit sheepishly.
As they turned another corner, they could see a new break in the wall up ahead. A soft light rippled out of an arch and pooled on the stone floor. A chill danced up Claire's neck, and Hero had tilted his head.
Do you hear music?
Claire listened, but there were only the constant far-off rumbles. No, what do you...
Hero?
Hero lurched toward the arch. Claire, for once, found herself being the one to have to jog to catch up with him and his long legs.
Hold on a moment, we need to be caught.
Hero reached the doorway and turned his face to the strange light. The torch fell from his hand, then guttered on the stone. Claire burst forward to face whatever new monster waited. Springtime. In their hallway, it was dark and chill in the dead, forgotten realm of the afterlife. But across the threshold in front of them, grass burst from the stones and slowly faded into a thick forest carpet. It swelled with fat moss and large leafed bushes before giving way to the paving stones of a tidy cottage. It was a forgettable construction, squat and consisting of conveniently stacked stones and aging wood. The hovel was barely taller than Hero, but one look at the blue-painted door and swept pavers said it was well-loved. Flowers of an almost lurid variety burst from boxes by the steps, and smoke rose lazily from the chimney.
Croak End, Hero breathed. That's impossible.
What is this?
Claire felt uneasy and kept her toes away from the patches of false sunlight.
That's home.
Hero's pronouncement left a cold shock in her stomach. Claire returned her attention to the tranquil little scene in front of her.
My story?
That can't be. Your book is here. It's likely a trick of the realm, Claire warned.
She frowned as she watched a rabbit munch on the grass nearest the threshold. It twitched its ears as if it had heard her insult.
I had expected a castle for you the way you talked. A strange soft smile broke out on Hero's face. His eyes never left the arch.
Humble beginnings, he murmured. Castles came later. This is where I grew up, or next door to it. My place was smaller, not nearly as nice. My neighbor—
Hero broke off with a gasp as movement stirred at one edge of the arch. He stumbled a step toward the threshold. A lithe young man in dark leathers emerged from the trees, startling the rabbit. He walked with easy rolling strides, a simple bow slung over one shoulder. His hair was longish and braided, the end of a mahogany plait tickling at his collarbone. He seemed to be whistling to himself, though Claire could hear nothing of the tune.
Owen!
Hero's face warmed beatifically as he watched him.
Owen! We grew up together. He was always there, even when—
He paused, looking troubled as he considered it.
How had I forgotten about him?
Her alarm grew louder with Hero's excitement. Claire clasped his elbow, trying to draw his attention. She could feel the tremor of tension in it.
It's a story, Hero. He's not really there. None of this is. It's got to be a trap. Come away from there.
He hasn't cut his hair yet. He still has that ratty old bag, Hero muttered fondly, not even hearing Claire. His face softened as he watched the hunter shuck what appeared to be his day's catch onto the porch and kick mud from his boots.
And still poaching. I warned him about that. I always said he would get us both.
He stopped, all color draining from his face. Claire grew concerned.
What? They killed him.
Hero said it levelly, but the words were rimmed in hot rage. His jaw worked as his gaze, never on Claire, turned anguished. Rage set into the curl of his lip and turned his delicate features sharp, cruel.
He stood by me, always protected me, and they killed him. Your precious heroes killed him, and I couldn't do anything to stop it.
Claire gripped Hero's wrist.
It's a story, Hero, a story. Look at me. Think this through. It's not happened yet. I could stop it. I can—
He reached out a hand toward the arch. Claire knocked his arm down as she stepped in front of him. Only her hands firmly on his chest kept him from brushing past her.
Listen to me, Hero. You have to listen. This is just a story, a vision, a trick. Block it out. I know it hurts, but it's not real.
Her shoulder blade slammed into the stone wall behind her and forced the air from her chest. Hero had his arm pressed against her throat. His snarl veered between broken and burning.
You can't see anything past your precious books. We're all just objects to you. This isn't a story. He isn't a trope. It is real. Owen is real. They are all real. Real to me. Real to everyone who loved us. Don't you dare. Hero, I didn't mean you're not— you're—
Claire struggled to get back the breath that had been knocked out of her, but the muscled vice at her throat presented a challenge.
It's a trick. Hero, you need to stop and think. You need to listen to me, and you need to listen to me right now. Please.
Claire shifted. Hero looked down and saw Claire's hand clenched on the hilt of the sword at his hip. Truthfully, Claire's fingers were numb, and the scabbard was in the way. She doubted she could do any harm at this angle. But she met Hero's gaze as he looked back up. She swallowed hard and repeated the only word that was making it through his panic.
Please.
Claire's hand began to cramp up. She didn't dare move, didn't dare speak again. The moment felt stretched and fragile. Then something broke. A raw emotion flickered over his eyes, then was gone. Hero sagged and drew back. Claire wobbled a moment, then sank halfway down the wall to breathe. When she looked up, Hero had his back to her, was silhouetted against the dappled sunlight streaming through the arch. The hunter, Owen, had retreated inside the cabin. Hero stared sightlessly at the front door, the smoke curling in the clear white-blue sky.
I could have saved him. I could have saved all of them,
I could have fixed it this time, I could have.
Claire feared for a moment that he'd take that final stride across the threshold and disappear into sunlight despite himself. But in the end, his shoulders crumpled. Hero's gaze fell to the floor and he jerked away as if it burned.
Sorry, Owen.
He took a stiff, halting step. Paused just long enough to offer Claire a hand. Claire took it, pulling herself up on unsteady feet. They shared no glances this time. They said nothing more. They walked, drawing out of the light and continuing into the permanent shadows of the labyrinth. They encountered no more doors, no more possible futures. When they finally stumbled on another set of stairs, they took it and found themselves back in the dust-swirled ruins where they had begun. Twilight cast long shadows over the tops of the stones, cooling the air in the labyrinth quickly. Hero had left his torch behind, and without Claire's supplies, they were soon plodding down paths in the dark. Once they'd cleared the stairs, words came more easily. The farther they walked into the dark halls, the closer Hero and Claire drifted to each other. Words were harsh, stiff things between them, sparking like stones, but they walked, arms brushing together in silence. The unnatural quiet of a world halfway to not there. When they stumbled into the last dead end in a series of wrong left turns, Claire shook her head and slumped against a corner. Let's just rest here for the night. Even immortal souls could get tired. Humans in the afterlife ate and slept, not because their bodies needed it, but because their sanity did.
Dead end. How apt.
Don't be dramatic. Hero grimaced and glanced around, as if looking for wood to make camp. But when nothing but hard earth and stone appeared, he sighed and slid down the opposite wall. Nervous hands without a task to busy them played over his knees.
You should have seen the castle, Hero finally said.
Claire tensed, uncertain where his thoughts were taking him. Her mind flashed on the cabin in the woods and the handsome boy with the bow, and she opted for a neutral answer. Is that so?
It was the kind of thing I think you would like. Big library, all the creature comforts. None of this hard-scrabble adventuring for me. I had a manse, servants, fluffy bed, a lovely study, and the most charming wine cellar you'll ever find.
A rags-to-riches aristocrat, then?
Not quite. Rebellion is easy. Being clever, striking out where it hurt. I was good at that, as you might expect. We were so virtuous, so confident in our rightness. Being right is easy, but then ruling is complicated.
Hero looked thoughtful before reverting to the shrug that Claire had begun to recognize as carefully crafted carelessness.
I prefer the term philosopher king.
Of course you do. Claire's lips curled into a smile. What possible motivation could you have to be a villain with a life like that?
I never felt like the villain. We were overthrowing a corrupt system, me and Owen. We were going to fix everything. And then he was killed, and I didn't want revolution. I just wanted revenge. And then you turn around one day and realize you have a kingdom that hates you, no matter what you try to do. You begin to hate them a little, too.
Hero quieted for a long moment.
I thought I could change it for the better, you know. Make her see the truth of it. See what a world she was wasting.
He wasn't speaking of Owen anymore. Claire didn't have to ask what her Hero referred to. For an unwritten book, there would only ever be one her or him. The one who'd failed to let him live. Claire half expected him to say more, but the topic of his own book seemed to unsettle him. His gaze went distant and lost at some point over Claire's shoulder. Watching him withdraw, Claire became aware of a muted, sympathetic twist in her chest. And then, to her surprise, some of her own grief began to thaw. She'd be a hypocrite to dismiss it now. She studied him for a long moment.
Your author must have thought of you often.
Dark green eyes blinked, and Hero returned from his thoughts in a daze.
Why do you say that? Lightness felt wrong in a place like this, so she offered a shrug instead. There's a lot of things that can wake up a book, but one theory is books are pulled awake by their author's dreams. Believe me, I know how that can go wrong. But to wake up and take shape like you did, to escape despite the library's precautions and find her so fast. You're just so... Claire made a vague twirl of her hand.
Alive.
I much prefer it to the alternative. Hero rubbed the space between his eyes. Not that it's done me much good.
Yes, well, women of a tender age don't take to sudden breakups well.
Claire suppressed a smile.
If you weren't a villain in her brain before, you certainly are now.
He dropped his head to his knees and a dry chuckle rumbled in his chest before seeming to stutter and trip over itself. He looked up, alarmed.
Is that how it works? Was I fated to inspire my own author to make me a...
Claire saw the gears threaten to spin off the tracks in his brain, and she couldn't suppress the laughter that bubbled out. Hero stopped with a startled look, which only made Claire laugh more until she was drained, too exhausted to be stern.
Oh, Hero, she shook her head. Even the library doesn't know how stories are made, or not made in our case. Try to put together who you are, why you are. Well, that's the path of madness.
I'm glad you find my existential crisis so entertaining, Warden.
Hero's voice was arch, but it was softened by the curve of his lips. They fell into a tentative truce of quiet. The chill of the stone wall was seeping into her spine, and Claire shifted, trying to find a comfortable spot. It was going to be a long night. There was a glimmer as Hero's eyes tracked her fidgeting.
Do characters forget themselves, Warden?
You should know better than anyone.
Not from damage, I mean. Can characters forget their stories for good?
What a curious question.
Claire frowned in his direction in the dark.
Why do you ask?
Hero seemed to chew on his answer a moment.
When we, it's annoying to contain multitudes. I used to be part of the whole, speak for the whole book. I was the book. All of us, all our dreams, fears, even the bratty, idiotic heroes. But that's begun to fade. I can't feel the others anymore. I'm beginning to feel more and more
singular. Alone.
Hero's voice quieted as he said it. His eyes closed as if he could dismiss the conversation through sleep if it became too uncomfortable.
He was afraid, Claire realized with a start. It must be a disquieting feeling, being alone in your own head for the first time. You're still a character tied to a book, but you're also becoming an individual. Exposed to things other than your story, you may be changing from how you were written. It's one of the reasons the library quiets the characters that wake up.
Except damsels.
Except the occasional damsel, yes. But only after their author is already dead and gone, and there's no risk of damaging a potential book, Claire allowed.
They change, grow. The damsels become people. I used to think only damsels did that, but you're proving that wrong. There's more to every one of us than what our story intends.
Hero's eyes slid open.
Is that why you defended me back there? You think you've tamed yourself a villain?
Not in the slightest.
Claire smiled as she made out the unwritten man's startled expression in the dark.
It just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter? What, in the philosophical we're all damned anyway sense?
Claire shook her head.
Stories are, at the most basic level, how we make sense of the world. It doesn't do to forget that sometimes heroes fail you when you need them the most. Sometimes you throw your lot in with villains. Neither heaven nor hell is very happy with us right now.
Claire leaned her head back. The weariness hit her all at once as she looked up at the strange configuration of stars that peeked through the ruins. They twinkled red and purple, she realized. Nothing was familiar in this place.
Whatever you are, your story's still unwritten.
Again, silence. She thought he'd nodded off, but then Hero spoke up quietly.
Claire?
What now?
You're not expecting a happy ending here, are you?
His words were a statement rather than a question. The breath staggered in Claire's throat. She kept her eyes closed.
No, not since the ghost lights went out.
And not since Leto. There were things Claire still couldn't say.
Maybe it ends well for the library if it's still standing. Stop Andrus, protect the library. That's what I intend to guarantee.
But for me, no.
That's a shame.
Indeed. Hero seemed to consider.
I don't think I'm going to like mocking a different librarian. Maybe I'll run away again.
You'll do no such thing. Sleep. Whether Hero slept or not, he didn't speak again. Claire listened to the far-off groans, felt the chill stone beneath her cheek, and almost regretted the silence. Almost asked Hero to start chattering again. But she didn't, and eventually she slept and dreamed as she knew she would. Of bronze scales and red stories, and remembered books turned to forgotten graves.
Dim light peeked under her eyelids. Claire woke up tasting dust and ozone on her tongue. The weird non-taste, non-smell of a dead world. The sun hadn't quite crested the tall labyrinth walls yet, leaving everything in the half-baked purple of dawn. The dead end was empty. That caused a shrill of panic, but when she turned her head, she saw Hero striding back down the passage. Claire wiped a hand over her cheek.
What time is it?
Absolutely no idea, Hero chirped and shrugged. You only slept for a couple hours. I figured you needed it.
You didn't sleep?
The accommodations were a little sparse for my tastes. Soon as it started to get light, I took the opportunity to scout out the next intersection, followed left to another dead end, so I suspect we can be rebels and go right without ruining your glorious left-handed strategy.
Claire took in Hero's appearance. His clothes were filthy. She suspected hers were as well. His aristocratic coat hung open, having lost a couple buttons somewhere between Valhalla and the literally godforsaken maze they found themselves in. He sported scratches on his hands and a welt on his cheek from their headlong tumult through the catacombs. He looked weary, but approached none of the exhaustion and hopeless dread that Claire felt. Stories were always resilient in their own ways. Authors, not so much. Claire still felt half dead as she dragged a hand over her face.
You shouldn't have wandered off alone. There's something else in here with us. We heard it last night.
Hero stopped in front of her.
Concerned for my safety, Warden? I'm touched.
Merely concerned you'll attract the beast to me, or take a wild hare to run off again. Not sure I have the energy to chase you, to be honest.
But Claire said it with a weak smile. Hero offered his hand and she allowed him to yank her to her feet.
Perhaps breakfast will improve your mood. Slice of diabetes?
Hero opened his hand and offered her one of the tiny snack cakes that she'd seen him trying with Leto in the Mdina kitchen. It was perfectly preserved in cellophane, if a bit squished.
We've been on the run for our souls and you've been hiding cakes on your person?
What? It's not as if anyone else thought to pack provisions.
Hero took offense. He began to close his hand, but Claire snatched the treat before he could withdraw it. She tore the wrapper and crumpled the cellophane into her pocket.
I thought you hated sugar,
Claire mumbled around a mouthful of frosting, to which Hero shrugged.
I suppose I'm still figuring out what I hate.
Where'd you learn a word like diabetes anyway? I thought your book was more fantasy-based. Don't tell me Brev had you read a medical text.
Leto made a joke, and I made him explain it.
Hiro's eyes went distant before he swiftly shifted the topic away from that memory.
How do you think they're doing?
Not Leto. The library. Brevity. Andrus.
I can't know until we get out of here, Claire admitted.
The cake felt less sweet, turning to mud on her tongue.
It's been too long, but time between realms can do funny things. Brevity's smart. I'm hoping the reason we've heard nothing is because she called up the wards. The library's not defenseless, but it's more built to keep books in rather than keep anything out.
The irony is delicious, Hiro interjected.
And Andrus has the pages, Claire finished with a scowl.
Those pages, that codex.
If Lucifer made it, it's a part of him, like hell itself. Even a portion of one could tear down a ward, and Andrus has 10 whole pages. I might be happy that the angels don't have it, but Andrus? I'm afraid what he wants to do is even worse.
You'll just need to take it back, then.
Yes, of course. I'm sure the horrors will be happy to listen to a deposed librarian, without any of her tools of office, without a library.
You have a library.
A library of one.
Hiro tapped his chest and flashed her a carefully practiced 1,000-watt smile, only slightly dimmed by the smear of sand in his hair.
I'll have you know I'm worth 100 of those boring old books.
And an arrogance to match the worth.
Claire tried to sound harsh and failed.
It's all part of my charm,
Hiro stumbled, as if his foot had tripped on air. He gripped the stone wall with white knuckles as if he suddenly wasn't sure of his feet.
Hiro?
Just a moment, I feel peculiar, he muttered through clenched teeth.
Claire studied him, then felt her pulse stop in her throat. The color began bleeding from Hiro's bright, brassy bronze hair. It formed cool wisps before evaporating. She looked to the hand pressed against the wall and saw a band of symbols glowing on his wrist. It was bright crimson, even as all his other colors were being drained out. Her gut clenched, and the cake fell from her fingers.
The IWL.
The what?
Hiro followed her gaze to the stamp on his wrist. Sweat began to bead on his temple, his face white with distress.
That can't be. You're the librarian.
Not necessarily. Not if Brevity's done her job.
What? But that's absurd.
He was fighting it, but Claire knew the pull of the library always won. She saw the panic flare in his eyes as Hiro came to the same conclusion.
Not yet, dammit.
He glared up at the air above them as if the library's interworld loan was something to be bargained with. Claire felt her heart slowly turning to lead. The little parts of her that had been restored by sleep and food and banter, the illusion of hope, those bits were fading along with the peach of Hiro's skin and the blue of his worn coat.
The library needs you.
It's all right. Her voice was eerily calm, even in her own ears. She was a writer. She could lie for him.
No, wait, hold on, just try. Maybe you'll come with.
Hiro snatched at her wrist and clamped down hard enough to pinch. His face was beginning to shimmer, just at the edges. Claire forced her lips up, a halting smile.
Maybe.
She was a better liar with words than with deeds, and she rarely smiled. It was no surprise that the alarm increased in Hiro's eyes. His grip on her wrist loosened, but he refused to let go.
You can't just...
Take care of them, Hiro. You promised.
Hiro's eyes widened.
Claire!
The shimmer fell inward and absorbed him. There was a snap, a rush of air. It tingled over her skin, replacing the pressure of Hiro's hand with a lick of sharp static.
Silence.
She became aware of the sound of harsh breathing, sharp staccato gasps of air.
She realized it was hers.
The passage suddenly felt too dark, too small, and her vision wobbled. The cake was still splayed on the earth at her feet. She made to pick it up, but instead found the stone scraping harshly at her spine as she slid down the wall. She did not cry. Heat stung her eyes, and she stared sightlessly at the chocolate frosting smudging her fingers. And Claire was alone.